Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, the only moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casinos, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5. The Game, Willie Donick, Adam Vingan, Chase McCabe. Predators GM Barry Trotz is with us as we are live at Bridgestone Arena. Predators versus Sharks tonight. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, right here on 102.5 The Game. Yet another big game. Barry, that's what we've been talking about for weeks now. Big game, big game, big game. Yet another big game tonight against San Jose.
Yeah, no, they've all been big games. The guys did a great job. I mean, we got 7 out of 10 points on that road trip. It seemed like we were gone for about a month. They were all meaningful games, especially obviously the LA ones, the San Jose. I mean, they're all meaningful. And it was, the guys did a great job. We found ways to win. There's, you know, we got goaltending when we needed. We got special teams when we needed. We hung in there, and that's a tribute to the group, the leadership, the coaching staff, everybody, because those are hard games and very good hockey teams.
The hottest topic, Barry, has been Eustace Onanen's play over the past week and how he is expected to start tonight for the third time in 4 games over UC Soros. How would you assess the state of your goaltending and specifically Onanen's recent performance?
Well, just fantastic, both of them, actually. Right now I think we've got the third most steals in the National Hockey League, and that's a tribute to your goaltending. And just juice. Who's in that juice? I used to say the 6'6" Finnish goaltender, and we always had good goaltending. So it's a great situation to be in, to have both goaltenders on top of their game. And the coaches are using that. We're going to need, juice has carried the majority of the year, if you will. He's got 60 starts. Eustace is gotten hot, and it's no different than you got to ride the what happens. It's we've got some great things happening for us. I mean, the goaltending has been really good. Where all our kids are playing, it's been fantastic for their development. I heard a stat. Steven Stamkos. This doesn't get enough love. Steven Stamkos had 4 goals after 22 games. Yep. He has now 40 goals. He's the third person in our organization to ever score 40 goals. He's got 36 goals in his last 60 games. I mean, there's some great stories of guys stepping up and getting the job done. And it always starts in goal and we've got great goaltending. Our defense, I mean, Roman Josi is our captain. He leads that back end. And you're getting, you're seeing a Ryan Ufko step up. You're seeing Wills be back from injury, playing well. We got injuries with Haig and Josi out, and guys coming in, and Osterley coming in and doing a really good job for us. So it's just a really good team effort every night. This group has battled. If you would have said, where were we back at, back at Thanksgiving? I mean, God, you'd say, well, we're going to be picking first overall, or be, right where Vancouver is. And right now we're, right at the end of the season, playing meaningful games with a young group of rookies and some veterans who have, had really great years for us. And, we can get in the playoffs. So what a great spot to be. It's fun. It's exhausting sometimes, but it's fun. I look at it, count our blessings that, this group at one point said, you heard the term win the week, and they just have won the week, and they haven't looked too far ahead and haven't been disappointed. You know, they've had games where they deserved to win and they didn't. They just sort of park it and go on to the next game. And there's games that we probably didn't deserve to win, but our goaltenders have stood on their head or our special teams stepped up at the right time and we found ways to win. So there's nothing I can say bad about the culture that we have and the group that's performing night in and night out. And, you know, we'll see where it goes from here in the next couple games.
As we've been discussing, Barry, the decision to play Onanen more than usual lately is not an indictment of UC Saros, because Saros has been quite
been
good as
up.
Well.
Yeah,
Onanen absolutely. Has just been sensational, especially over the past week. But I have to imagine it can be difficult having those conversations with your number one goaltender at this time of the year especially. And I was hoping you could take us back to a similar situation in your coaching career.
In Washington,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, precisely, well, with Philip Grubauer and Braden Holtby.
Yeah, those are always tough conversations because those guys that are your number one, but they also get tired. I mean, you were there, Adam, and you know, Gruby was fresh. He got on a little bit of a heater. It's no different than a player. You always see guys get elevated on the wings when they get on a heater, or a centerman who get more ice time. So it doesn't. It's the same with a goaltender. You get on a little bit of a heater. You get a little bit of a roll. You get more starts. And both goaltenders have been great. I mean, Juice and Eustis have been fantastic for us. And the coaches have, you know, looked at everything and they said, you know, we're going to maybe ride with a little bit of hotter hand. And, you know, you got to remember that the Juice not only has played almost the most games in the league as a goaltender, but he also went to the Olympics too. And he faces a lot of shots. We're not a team that is gifted that, you know, he gets 12 shots a night. That's not the case. So I think the coaches have thought this out. I can tell you this from if you know anything about Saros, he understands. He goes, I just want to get in. And there's no way that we could get in if it wasn't for the play of Juice. So he's all about the team, and he always has been and always will be. It's no different. You know, we rode Gruby into the – I'm talking about the Washington. I'm looking at Adam. We rode Gruby to get us in a position where we could get to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And then once we did, it's a different animal once you reach the playoffs. And we lost two overtime games in Washington going with Gruby, who was carrying us through about 15, 20 game stretch there where he had unreal numbers. But the playoffs were different. And then we switched back to Holtby, and Holtz was used to that. He probably had a little chip on his shoulder too. And he came back and, you know, lo and behold, he was the goaltender that we won a Stanley Cup with.
I do want to ask you about Onanen's play since the Olympic break, because we're focused on the game in Anaheim, the game against Minnesota over the weekend. But he's been one of the best goaltenders statistically since late February when the league restarted. Where have you seen, and Ben Vanderklok and Mitch Korn, where have you seen the biggest strides in Onanen's game, especially since the league started play up again?
I think the biggest thing is his calmness now. I think with a young goaltender, he seemed to be just sort of not nervous, but just trying so hard because he wanted to, you know, establish himself as a true NHL backup, NHL goaltender, whatever form where he thought he was in his career. What I'm seeing is a guy that's very comfortable going, you know, I'm a good goaltender right now, and I got, you know, UC Saros and me. I'm his backup, and I think he got comfortable with that, and then his game started to grow. And once you get to that point in your game and you get that confidence and that comfort level, I just think everything just slows down for you a little bit. Just like your first gig on the radio, you had some nerves and
sure.
You had some, you know, you had some breaks and you had to work on a lot of your stuff. I remember that for sure. And now you're really poised.
Oh, well, thank you, Barry.
Things have slowed down for you, and it's no different. So,
I appreciate that.
I'm glad you were busy on the first ever Predator game. Barry, you're on the bench coaching a team, because that way you didn't hear me doing the first Predator game before handing it off to Pete and Terry. My pregame, I think, was a little rough.
Yeah, it's just like anything.
I hope we've destroyed the tape.
It's just like anything. I think you always hear this term. You become, you know, comfortable when it's a little bit uncomfortable. And I think that's part of what a player goes through, what a goaltender goes through, a defenseman, a broadcaster, you know, all those things. So I just think that's where he is, and that's a fantastic place to be as a young player.
Well, thinking back too, Barry, you made the trade with a veteran goalie in Scott Wedgwood to get Eustace Onanen, and you I think all of you, you included, had the vision that he could be a guy that could take another step or two forward, and here we are just over a year later. It's starting to happen, and he's still only 26, and that's fairly young for a goalie, right? Goalies take a little longer before you get the final product?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you even look at the college goalies that come out. You know, there's always a big college goalie that signs as a free agent, and usually you look and they're, you know, 24 years old, and then they're, you know, they're a couple of years in the minors, and they work their way, you know, as a backup, and then finally to the NHL, and you find out they're 28 years old and they're an NHL rookie, you know. We saw a couple things with him. Obviously, we see the size. We saw the athleticism. Like, if you look at Juice, he's pretty cut for a big man. His body type really, really reminds me of Olaf Kolzik. Big man. He's put together really well, fit, and is a good athlete.
Another guy I want to ask you about, you guys just signed Aiden Fink, another guy with a really interesting story behind him. I remember we were all sitting right here when Tom Fitzgerald stood up and traded you that last pick, and you guys picked Aiden Fink, and you don't really think anything of it. And then here he is. He's, from the day he went on to college, he's been scoring all these points, and now he's in Milwaukee and doing well, and you guys just signed him today.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Aiden is, you know, you take your swings, and I remember the draft. We got that pick, went to Fitzy and said, hey, this makes a lot of sense for a lot of emotional ties and connecting the dots with this franchise. And we took Aiden. And I remember they said, this guy's a little bit undersized, but, you know, he seems to find a way to do it. Let's take a swing, you know, a little bit of a swing in that last pick. And it's been a really good pick. Our scouts identified a talent, probably a little bit undersized, undervalued by obviously where we got him. And he's come on and performed extremely well. You talk about laying some foundation for a really good university program. He was one of the centerpieces that has done that for Penn State, and has played extremely well. He went down and to the American Hockey League and lit it up there. So he's he's up here, and I think hopefully just seeing, being around, the Ryan O'Reillys and the Stamkoses and just the pro environment will be, because he's a really smart and enthusiastic young man that I think he'll really thrive and just being around. And so we're really excited to have him in the fold, and hopefully he's a Predator for a long time.
I'm glad you touched on Stamkos before, because it is an amazing story to get to 40, but you just hit on the point, too, that has the residual. It's not just what he's doing now, but we've talked about this in terms of Ryan O'Reilly, just the influence he's got to be having on all these. Like you guys said, you got six rookies on the roster right now, and they're watching him do what he's doing every day.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing, is that you can say what you want in any path that we've taken, but we've always talked about the cultural piece. We've always talked about how important it is to have someone lead the charge and show them the way, so that, you know, we've done it through this franchise. You know, it started with Tom Fitzgerald by getting the right captain, the right leader to start a franchise. Expansion was a way different than it is now, and I can't imagine what it would look like without Fitzy those first couple of years. And then, you know, it sort of got passed on, and then the Shea Webbers, and pass it on to Roman. Roman's passing it on, and then you add, pieces of guys that were captains on their own team, and Stamkos and cup winners, and you hope that rubs off, and I think it does. I really believe it does. And hopefully those things rub off so that we can win a cup here.
Barry Trotz is with us, Predators general manager here on DVD. When you ask any coach, GM, player at the beginning of the season what's going to define a successful season, they're probably all going to say the same thing: winning the Stanley Cup. And one team gets to say that at the end of the year. When you, barring whatever happens the rest of this week, kind of look at this season through all the up and downs as a whole, and your answer may change after the season, how do you define what's made this successful?
Well, I'm trying to remember what I said at the start of the year. I think someone, maybe you guys asked me, where do I think we should be? I do remember talking about playing meaningful games at the end of the season, hopefully get in the playoffs, adding a lot of young talent, you'll see, and letting them sort of start to develop in the National Hockey League. We've done that. So a lot of ways, no matter what happens right now, it is we're on par. You know, everybody wants to win a cup. Everybody wants to get to the playoffs, all that. But the success is going to become that I know our goaltending's strong. The success that I know that we got some young guys that are coming and they're going to be good pieces for us going, going forward in the future. Our veterans are holding up at a really high level for some of them that have some age to them. They're really still performing at a high level. So overall, if you would have said, hey, you're gonna play till game 81 or 82, whatever it is, and be in the playoff race, I would say I would have took that before the season, because I know we're in a transition type of a situation where we're, you know, people are talking, are you doing a rebuild? Or I'm almost calling it a remodel now, because, you know, that's where we are. We're getting younger. We're getting a little more exciting with some of our young guys. They're getting to perform. Guys like Woody, you know, is starting to pop a little bit. And you're seeing the effect of guys like LaRue, and then Ryan Ufko, where you see glimpses of what he might become. You look at our goaltending, it's going to be solid for the next few years. So, you know, right now, I would say that we set out with a plan, and the plan is sort of, the two timelines are sort of starting to match up. And we're going to get some more young kids in the draft, and we've got more young kids that are going to continue to develop and join the organization in the next couple of years. So, I think the future is really bright, because this is a fantastic, you know, we got lots to sell here. We got a great city, we got great ownership. I think we got a good. I think we're number five based on some reports in terms of our prospect pool. We weren't there 2 years, 3 years ago. We weren't even close to that. Now we are. We've got, I think, 35 draft picks in the next 3 years, something like that. So the future's bright for continuing to build, or continuing to add pieces, or continue to have the assets to move things around to what you need. So we're gonna be building a new practice rink, which is exciting for the franchise. Those are things that are centerpieces for players to be here and for development. I mean, all those things. I think our development staff, because we have so many young kids coming, we've put an emphasis on hiring, you know, more people in that area than others, because I just find that we trying to knock off one block at a time. The first block when I got here was we got to build, restock the cupboards, and we're doing that, and there's other things that we wanted to add to the mix, and we're just knocking one brick at a time, and hopefully we knock enough bricks down that we build something really great in the future here.
When you were talking about goaltending earlier and your time in Washington and kind of that decision, you know, you use the phrase riding the hot hand. Sometimes you'll hear that. How many times as a coach do you simply have to put numbers and stats and all that aside and just go on a gut feeling? And how have you kind of seen Bruno develop that more in the last few years as the head coach?
I'm down there quite a bit, with the coaches. I try to stay pretty neutral. I just think it's just like anything, the more experiences you go through, the more hard decisions you have to make, the more tweaks that you have to make. What I liked about the coaching staff, and Bruno is no different than a player. He's, the more experiences he has behind the bench, the more things that come in different forms, he's adding to his tool belt. And this is just another part of it. It's no different than Adam. No, we were trying to get into the playoffs, get in a good spot. Our goaltending was was letting us down, and I had to make a hard decision. The Holtz was the guy, and we did that. And then you also have to not be stubborn too. You know, we lose a couple games, we jump right back to the Holtz, and I can tell Adam some stories that he doesn't know where I was going to pull, you know, different goalies at certain times, and then and you hold off, and it works out. I mean, I thought about pulling a goaltender when we had a lead in a playoff game because he was really struggling, and I didn't do it. Just certain circumstances played out. So these are the stories behind the scenes that the coaches have to talk about and have to make tough decisions. And but you have to, you go through that, and it you don't sleep a lot. I'll tell you, you worry about the next game. You all these decisions always sort of pick at you, and that's why the coaching part of it. It's easy on the back end when everything's said and done. It's easy to be an armchair quarterback. I can do that with any sport really. But you have to be in the, mix.
Yeah.
And you have to be in the room, and you have to just know. It's a feel. I know there's times, and I've talked about this, when you try to get a feel. I love the feel on the bench. You just knew which guys are the guys you can trust, which guys are the guys, even on the opposition team, or that this guy's a player, you know. And I'm sitting, 600 feet from the ice level, and it's a harder feel. So, but it's easier up there. I got all the answers up there. But the coach part and the decision making, trust me, to any fan, to any broadcaster, to anybody, I don't think coaches make any decision without a lot of thought and a lot of checking the numbers and gut feeling and talking it over to nauseam at times, and then they have to make a decision, and they're judged on that decision. And we've all made poor decisions. I'm looking at Crispy right now, so I know he's made a lot of good decisions, but he's also made a few bad ones. I've been a part of a couple of bad ones, I think. But it is something that's a challenge for every coach in the league.
Predators GM Barry Trotz has been our guest on D-Mace. Vingan and Donnick, he joins us every week during hockey season. Barry, as always, a pleasure. Enjoy the game tonight. Good luck against the Sharks.
Thank you.
615-737-1025. We will react to what Barry had to say coming up next. We'll also preview tonight's matchup against the Sharks, yet another big one for the local professional hockey team. 615-737-1025. Willie Donnick, Adam Vingan, Chase McCabe, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan and Donnick, 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Adam Vingan here with you live at Bridgestone Arena. Willie Donnick has left, well, not the building. He just left Barrel House. He went upstairs to prepare for the broadcast. Predators versus Sharks tonight. Puck drop at 7. Pre-game at 6 with Max High Maintenance Hers right here on 102.5 The Game. Have you heard that nickname?
I have.
Yes.
I may have used it a time or
he
two.
Is,
we
he
love
is.
Max.
We love Max. He's also high maintenance. Yeah. So let's set the stage, Chase, for tonight's game. The Predators enter tonight's game against the Sharks, 1 point out of the final wild card spot in the Western Conference with 86 points. The LA Kings have 87 points with a game in hand. So the Predators, of course, look, at this point, just keep winning.
Yeah.
Let's set the stage once again. Here is what would eliminate the Predators from playoff contention tonight. Two things have to happen for that to happen. One, the Predators have to lose to the Sharks in regulation. I should note that the Predators have won 15 consecutive games against the San Jose Sharks, which is the longest active winning streak for one franchise versus another franchise in the league. So, one, the Predators would have to lose in regulation to the Sharks. Number two, the LA Kings would have to defeat the Seattle Kraken in any fashion. Regulation, overtime, shootout, it doesn't matter. If those two things happen, the Predators lose in regulation and the Kings win, the Predators will be eliminated from playoff contention. So, really, boil it down to its essence, Predators just have to win. But the big news surrounding this game, Justus Onanen is expected to start for the third time in four games over a healthy UC Saros. That rarely happens. But Onanen has been nails over the past week in the game at Anaheim last Tuesday and the game here at home against Minnesota on Saturday. Combined, Justus Onanen has saved 8.7 goals above expected. He has stopped 26 of 27 shots from the inner slot, so right in front of the net. He has been one of the best goalies in the league since the Olympic break in late February. And Chase, this is something I emphasized with Barry, and I also emphasized in my conversation with Willie earlier in the program. This is not an indictment of UC Saros.
Sure.
Because UC Saros has also been one of the best goalies in the NHL since the Olympic break. He's been good. Onanen has been sensational. So I know a lot of you who are indifferent toward UC Saros.
Or want to make a narrative here.
Those of you who are indifferent toward UC Saros will use that to say, hey, see, they shouldn't have signed him. But Saros, analytically, has been one of the better goaltenders in the NHL since the Olympic break. Onanen has just been one of the best goaltenders since the Olympic break.
He's made the most of his opportunities. And I think, you know, as the new GM or, you know, however that's going to look comes in and looks at things, they know they're set on goaltending. And also, you know, the coaching staff can look at this and think, all right, well, I don't have it right in front. How many games has Saros played this year? 60.
One moment, please.
64, 65, something like
that. Saros has started 58 games, okay, second 58. Most in the NHL. Tie for second most in the NHL.
So, you know, you can look at that and go, well, maybe next year, maybe we can drop that number down to 55 or 54 and give Onanen more starts because he's earned that right, earned that trust. You know, I brought up the whole gut feel thing as a coach. I mean, to me, it's obvious. It's not an indictment on Saros. You ride the hot hand. Onanen has been the hot hand. So you play that and see what happens. And look, that's a decision that you're going to have to live and die by as a coach. But, I mean, you remember covering the Stanley Cup final. Or wait, no, you weren't here yet.
Yes, I was.
No, yeah, you were. The Stanley Cup final, and Peter Laviolette kept being asked, you know, if he was going to make a goaltending
because
change.
Because Pekka Rinne had some rough games in Pittsburgh to start that series.
And there Saros was the backup.
There were, I believe, two full days off between games 2 and 3 of that series. So that was the talking point.
Correct.
Between games 2 and 3. Will the Predators make a goaltending switch? And I don't mean to step on your toes here, but what I do remember is Pekka Rinne starts game 3, was outstanding.
Yep.
After the game, Peter Laviolette was... Why would you guys even think that I would move away?
Because you were probably one asking him that too.
I probably was. Like it was never a thought in my mind to move away from Pekka Rinne in the Stanley Cup final.
Right, and so I bring that up because that's the feel of the coach of it's almost like a pitcher in baseball of this guy's a stud. He's a Cy Young winner. He's going to work through this. So I'm going to leave him in there. I'm not going to take him out. And that's what Laviolette did, I think, in obviously different situations, but you sit here with your season on the line, I think you have two really good options. And that's the, you know, so play the guy that's been just lights out lately and hope for the best and hope that you can keep winning. I mean, obviously, that's really got to be the discussion in that locker room of, you know, we can only control what we can control, and that is going out winning these next two games.
Drew in Columbia says, what is the all-time consecutive win record for one franchise against another? I can tell you that, Drew in Columbia. The Montreal Canadiens defeated the Washington Capitals 23 consecutive times between October of 1974 and March of 1978. That was right when the Capitals entered the NHL.
Okay.
So the powerhouse Montreal Canadiens beat up on the expansion Washington Capitals. 23 consecutive wins between 1974 and 1978. The Predators are at 15 consecutive wins against the San Jose Sharks. Chase, I've said this before. This will show you how long it's been
But it's like a 17-game point streak or something like that, right?
I can't recall that off the top of my head. But I will tell you the last time the Sharks defeated the Predators, I wasn't married and I didn't have two kids. That's how long it's been since the Sharks defeated the Predators. Now I am married and have two beautiful children. So, look, I know a lot of you are going to say, jinx, jinx, jinx. And if you want to call in tomorrow at 3 and complain and blame me if the Predators lose, I mean, I guess I've set myself up for that. But come on, guys, jinxes aren't real.
According to, this is what Preds PR has put out.
All right.
Nashville owns an 18-game point streak, 17-0-1 against San Jose that dates back to March 16th, 2019.
Okay, there you go.
So that's
that bodes well because the Predators need the points. Again, to avoid elimination tonight, the Predators cannot lose in regulation. And on top of that, the Kings cannot win in any fashion against Seattle. If those two things happen, unfortunately for the Predators, they will be eliminated from playoff contention. And as we've been saying, I just want to emphasize this. If not for UC Soros, Onnen, too, the two of them together are the primary reason why the Predators are in this position. If not for the two of them combined, especially since the Olympic break, this game would be meaningless for the Predators. Yep. They would just be playing out the string. Two more home games and then another year without the postseason. Between the two of them, they have combined for, if I could do my math here very quickly, 19 quality starts in 23 tries. 19 out of 23, which means in 19 of the 23 games the Predators have played since the Olympic break, Onnen or Soros has saved more goals than expected. So goaltending is the reason. I mean, Steven Stamkos is a fabulous story, reaching 40 goals, I believe the eighth time in his career. A lot of contributions from young players. Not taking away anything from all of that. It's goaltending. That's the reason why the Predators are here. So we'll see if Onnen can continue his hot streak tonight. He is expected to start third time in four games. Onnen going in net for the Predators. 615-737.
I got a bold prediction for you tonight.
You want to do it now or on the other side?
I'll do it on the other side.
Let's do it on the other side. Yeah. Chase has a bold prediction. 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction and wrap up the show coming up next. Chase McCabe, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 1025 The Game. Chase McCabe and Adam Vingan here with you. Before we get back to the Predators, some sad news to report from Jim Wyatt of TennesseeTitans.com. Dave McGinnis, known affectionately as Coach Mac by most, has passed away. In McGinnis, the football world lost a man who never stopped coaching and encouraging, even though his role in the NFL changed in more recent years. The world and the Titans community lost a man who was a friend to many, always generous with his time, money, and stories. McGinnis died on Monday after an illness that first hospitalized him in early March. He was 74 years old.
Coach Mac was one of a kind. I had the opportunity to spend a lot of time with him just around here, but also, you know, a couple of times at the combine with Floyd and Jared. And Jared and I would sit back and, well, Jared would talk because, you know, he's Jared, but we would sit back and listen to the stories that those two would tell and just be in awe because it was just, it was great. And, you know, obviously Coach Mack was very close with Coach Fisher. I hate this. This one stings. Just because he's a great man, obviously was a big part of this community. Did a fantastic job with Titans Radio, with Mike Keith mostly, and then Taylor Zarzer this past year, and just gutted, man, because Coach Mac's one of one. And I will tell this, when he first moved into the radio booth, because of his relationship with Floyd and Derek, and, you know, he would come on with us quite a bit. And then, you know, he got the full-time gig with Titans Radio and obviously became exclusive across the street, which we understood. But he was always great with his time. And whenever we would text him, and for those of you that have done this, he would reply back in emojis. That was him letting you know, yeah, I'm good or whatever. But just truly an awesome person. And the Titans in Nashville have lost a good one. And so thoughts and prayers with his family.
Yes, we send our condolences to the family and friends of Dave McGinnis, who has passed at the age of 74. 615-7737, excuse me, 1025. We've got some calls. Let's get to them now. Let's start with Mark on our phone line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. Mark, thank you for calling and waiting. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Adam, I have a question on the playoff picture here.
Sure.
If the Predators win out and the Kings win out, can't the Predators still get in the playoffs if Minnesota and, of course, the Predators beat the Ducks? Because the Kings would then move into the third seed of the Pacific Division, and the Kings and Predators would be tied with 90 points each, but the Predators have more regulation wins, or would have more regulation wins, than the Ducks, and would thus get in as the second wild card.
Thank you for the call, Mark. It is a little confusing, and tonight we'll clarify some things. But here's what I can tell you. The Predators have the tiebreaker over both the Kings and the Ducks. The number one tiebreaker, as Mark mentioned on the call, is regulation wins. The Predators are at 28, the Kings are at 21, and the Ducks are at 25. So if at any point the Predators finish tied with those two teams, the Predators will have the tiebreaker over those two teams. So, for example, let's say the Ducks, Kings, and Predators all finish with the same number of points.
Yeah.
The Ducks will win the tiebreaker against the Kings for third place in the Pacific based on this scenario, and the Predators would win the tiebreaker against the Kings for the wild card spot. So thank you for the call, Mark. There are a lot of different scenarios at play here, but the Predators are in a good spot in the sense that they do have the tiebreaker over both the Kings and the Ducks. Because, look, there are only one, two, three, five teams remaining for two spots in the Western Conference. And one of those spots is not available to the Predators because they're not in the Pacific Division.
Right.
So, look, the Predators still face tough odds to make the playoffs. Again, they will be eliminated from playoff contention tonight if they lose in regulation and the Kings win in any fashion against the Kraken. And that game won't start until the Predators game is over because it's late night in Seattle. So it starts at 9:30 Central. I think that's right. Ugh, that's a late night. Anyway.
I know. I don't like those.
I'd rather go to bed.
You could say you'll be sleepless in Seattle.
Come on, David.
No, I had to. Good. Sorry, guys.
Boo.
All right, you ready for my bold prediction?
Yes, let's hear that bold prediction.
So, a stat.
Yes.
Philip Forsberg has the most points versus San Jose in franchise history with 41.
Okay.
18 goals and 23 assists. He has done that in 31 career games.
All right.
Against the San Jose Sharks. Here's the bold prediction. Hats on the ice tonight for number 9.
Oh.
That calling would, it. That I'm is calling
a,
it.
That is a
Max
bold prediction.
Max, pay attention to that. Hat trick for Philip Forsberg tonight.
We will see if that does come true fruition.
You like that? That's bold.
That is bold. You weren't lying.
And that would give bold. Him – that would – now, Steven Stamkos could also score, but if he does not, that would give him 41. And
it would be the second time – if Forsberg reaches 40 – it would be the second time in franchise history that the Predators have had two 40-goal scorers in the same season. Back in 2022, it was Forsberg and Matthew Shane with 40 goals apiece. There was a time.
Was it 22 or 23? 20. You may be right. I think it was 22. Yeah, I think you're right.
It's been – there was a time where the Predators were the only active franchise without a 40-goal scorer in its history, and I did
Which
not include
nuts.
Vegas – in that because they were brand new. And I believe Vegas had a 40-goal score before the Predators did.
21-22.
Okay.
Philip had 42.
All right. So we'll see.
I mean, 69 games, too.
Look, what Barry was saying about Steven Stamkos is absolutely true. Steven Stamkos had, I believe, 4 goals in his first 22 games of the season. Since November 26th, which is really where the Predator season turned around, he's got 36 goals in 58 games. The only two players with more goals since that date are Cole Caulfield, who has 51, and Connor McDavid. So Steven Stamkos, over a full 82 games, over his past 58 games, is scoring at a pace of 51 goals over a full season. So hats off, no pun intended there, to Steven Stamkos, because, look, when he had four goals through 22 games, I wasn't expecting him to reach 40. So he reinvented his game. He started going right to the front of the net, scored a ton of goals from right in front of the crease, and that helped him get to this point. So, you know, kudos to Steven Stamkos for changing things up, even for someone who is going to be enshrined in the Hockey Hall of Fame when his career is over. Even at this stage of his career, he made some changes, and it paid off handsomely, and we'll see if he can continue to score tonight. But once again, the big story, Eustace Onanen expected to start in net for the Predators.
Can I make a quick comment on
what
you just said? Going to be enshrined in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
For
sure. We knew that when he signed.
Yes.
That was going to happen.
If he would have retired instead of signing with the Predators, he would be going to the Hockey Hall of Fame.
What I am very glad to see is that, even though obviously, you know, 98% of that time is going to be Tampa Bay and recognizes Tampa Bay.
Yes.
You're going to look and go, okay, well, his time in Nashville was still pretty good because of what he's done this year.
Yes. And
which
look,
it wasn't looking that way for a while.
Well,
so that's what I'm saying.
I wasn't here. You were. But remember when Paul Kariya played for the Predators?
Yes.
Peter Forsberg briefly played for the Predators. It's cool when one of the greatest players of his generation is wearing your team's uniform, even if it wasn't the uniform he is most commonly associated with. Because Paul Kariya holds a lot of, I believe, he doesn't hold the all-time scoring record anymore, does he?
No, Forsberg or Yossi has that now.
Right. But for a long time, Paul Kariya had the highest single-season point total in franchise history. And when people think of Paul Kariya, they don't think of the Nashville Predators. They think of the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim. But it's still cool for Predators fans that Paul Kariya played a part of this franchise.
Sure.
And who knows how long Steven Stamkos will be here. I mean, he's got two more years on his contract after this one.
I'd keep him right now.
I mean, I look, at the trade deadline,
I know. You wanted to trade everybody, probably.
Not necessarily everybody. I was disappointed that they didn't trade Ryan O'Reilly at the deadline. I definitely was. And look, there will be second guessing if the Predators.
So you don't let Arlo listen to Mac and Cheese because of that?
You know, I haven't played Mac and Cheese for Arlo yet. I should probably do that.
You should.
I bet he would like that.
Yeah.
I bet he would like that. Maybe I'll do that when I get home.
There you go.
So, anyway, we'll see if the Predators can keep it going tonight again against the San Jose Sharks. I'm going to say it one more time, and I'm sorry for those of you who believe in jinxes. 15 consecutive wins for the Predators against the Sharks, and they need to make it 16. Because if they do, they are still alive in the Western Conference playoff race. A loss in regulation tonight for the Predators, a win by the Kings later tonight in Seattle, and the Predators will be eliminated from playoff contention. The Predators 4-1-1 in the month of April, looking to make it 5-1-1. Chase, any final thoughts, predictions for tonight's game?
Well, I gave my big one.
You did?
Hat trick for Forsberg. I'm calling it. Which would be, what, how many in his career? He's had a ton.
I'll have to look that
up. Sorry. You're my stat guy.
I know.
No, just keep playing the way you've been playing and get these wins. I mean, that's really all you can do. We'll have a lot of time to break down and do the breakdown of the season and all of that. But considering where they once were at the start of this year to where they are now, you know, fighting for a playoff spot at the very end, it's like Barry Trotz said, playing meaningful games in April, that's pretty remarkable. So let's just see.
6-1-5. Oh, no, there's no more time for calls. There's no more time for calls. I mean, you can
call the pregame show.
You can call the pregame show. I don't know if Max has ever taken a live call, but maybe you could try. At 615-737-1025. That'll do it for us today. We'll be back in full force tomorrow. I appreciate Chase McCabe for pulling double duty. 5 hours of radio for Chase McCabe today.
Max, you need me now too? I mean, I'm rolling. So
Max is fine. He's fine. High maintenance hers over here. We will be back in full force tomorrow. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Hopefully he made it back from the mountains. I guess we'll all find out at 3 o'clock. Hopefully he wasn't eaten by a bear. But that'll do it for us. We will be back tomorrow to react to this game and more, starting at 3 p.m. And on behalf of Derek Mason, who's not here to say this, be loved, love on your people. Have a wonderful rest of your Monday. Enjoy the Predators game tonight. We'll talk to you 3 p.m. tomorrow from the station. Peace.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.